Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study is from Roland Springs Baptist Church, and we are in the second book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and our lesson today is lesson 5, and it's chapter 5. So we will begin our study in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, do speak to our hearts today as we study your word, that we may have courage and our faith will be strengthened through the reading and the studying of your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our understanding and give us wisdom to know your truth, Father, that we may bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. We always find it helpful to go back to the previous chapters and review what we have already learned. So we'll look at the letter of 2 Corinthians. We know that the 1st and 2nd Corinthians is epistles or letters written from Paul and Timothy, and it was telling, we see here that the letter began with Paul and Timothy telling the Corinthians about comfort in affliction. The God of all comfort gives so that others may be comforted. So God gives us comfort that we may give comfort to others. That's what we've learned. And then Paul explained why that he had changed his plans to come to Corinth. He didn't want to go again and be sorrowful because there were some things going on in Corinth that made him very sorrowful. So he didn't want to have to come back and face that again. And he said that he spared them by not going to see them at this time. In chapter 2, Paul ends that chapter by writing to them that he and Timothy were not peddling God's word. They were teaching the gospel, the truth. And there was false teaching at Corinth, and people were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. And in chapter 3, that chapter was in contrast of the ministry of the Spirit, the new covenant, with the old covenant, the law. So some of these false prophets in Corinth were teaching the old covenant. And then Paul said that they didn't lose heart in ministry, even when facing affliction. He's talking about he and Timothy, that through the afflictions that they were going through, they never lost heart. And they knew that the power of Christ was within them and that his life is to be manifested or shown in believers, all believers. So that puts us now into 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, and I will read the first 10 verses. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, here in this chapter, or in these first 10 verses, the thought continues to be focused on physical life and death compared with the eternal life for believers. In verse 1, Paul talks about the earthly tent that we are living in now. When that is torn down, he says that it's our house. When it's torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, that's eternal in heaven. So then he goes on in verse 4, and he says, "For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." And then he goes in the sixth verse, and he says that we're here, he says, "Therefore, always being of good courage, and knowing that while we're home in the body, that we are absent from the Lord, because we walk by faith, not by sight." That's what gets us through the things that we face in life, is that we are believers in Christ, and that our faith is in Him, and we walk by that faith and not by sight, not by the things that we can see. And then in verses 1 through 9, we see that this building was from God, and it was not made with hands, and that this building that we are looking to live in is eternal. It will be in heaven, and then we will be at home in the Lord. He says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So here, Paul is looking at the eternal life and not at the temporal life. And he said here, but he did the work of God that God gave him while he was here on this earth. That's talking about the gospel. And he was burdened because of being unclothed by the immortal body. And it was in contrast with the groaning and the longing for a life of courage while in the earthly body, a life of faith that would be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at some verses and read these verses here. Let me find the scripture quickly. In chapter 15 of First Corinthians, verses 12 through 22. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So in this first letter to the Corinthians, some at Corinth were questioning the resurrection. And so these verses are Paul's reasoning and understanding. And he was saying, if there's no resurrection, Christ was not raised, and there's no reason for faith. But he goes on to say that he has rose, and that all believers in him will be also raised. And then, and I'm not going to read all the scripture, but you might want to write down Philippians 1, verses 18 through 24. In these verses, Paul's desire was for Christ to be exalted in his body by life or death. And he saw death as a gain to be with Christ. And he also viewed his life on earth as Christ's life. And that's what he said in these verses. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. So whether he lived or whether he died, he said that it was all for Christ. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and see what we learned from the 10th verse. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, good or bad. So, we will all, as believers, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's to be a recompense for, that means to be what is due for the deeds that we have done in the body, whether good or bad, and whether morally or worthless. And that was also to see if we would do any rewards. And In Romans 14, verses 1 through 12, which we don't have time to read all this, this passage mentions a judgment seat of God, and it's very similar to what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:10. The context is how believers treat other believers, the weak and the strong Christians. So we're not to judge our brothers. God is going to judge all of us, and we will give an account to Him. So when we studied 1 Corinthians, if you want to write this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 15, what did we learn in these verses that was the foundation of the church? We learned that the foundation of God's building, the church, in this 1 Corinthians, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of the building of Christ. Paul and others built on that foundation. Jesus was the foundation. And a day will come when the quality of our work will be tested with fire. And the scripture says, if one's work remains, he'll be rewarded. But others will suffer loss, though they are saved. Now, there's also some scripture in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, and chapter 6, verse 1. And in these verses, Jesus said, there is a reward in heaven for the persecuted on earth, but the one who is concerned with practicing righteousness before men will have no reward from the Heavenly Father. His righteousness is self-righteousness. Anything that we do that is to bring glory to us, that we can take credit for, is not righteousness of God, but it's self-righteousness. And then there are many other scriptures, if you want to write down, that you can use as cross-reference about the rewards. Luke 6, verse 35, Jesus also was saying that you're to love your enemies, doing good and expecting nothing in return. That brings great reward. And these are the things that God does. And then also as a reference or cross-reference to these verses about rewards is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 36, and chapter 11, verse 6. And it talks about confidence even when we face persecution, and it has a reward. And that confidence is living by faith that pleases God, because God is the rewarder. Now let's go on and read verses 11 through 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 11 of chapter 5. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not, again, commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now, what are these verses saying? How does this relate to believers today? What does the fear of the Lord have to do with it? Knowing about the judgment seat of Christ should put the fear of God into people. Not only these here in Corinth that Paul was writing to, but to us today, knowing that we will face God and sit at one time before Him and face judgment, it should put fear into our hearts. And Paul said, because of that, he persuaded men, being known to God and hopefully by them, the Corinthians. It's an occasion for them to be proud or boast about Paul and Timothy to those who take pride in appearance instead of heart. Paul and Timothy lived for Christ, whether or not they were being afflicted or facing trials from the church. God, Christ Himself, controlled them. The love of Christ controlled them. That's what should be control over each of our lives today, is Christ. He should control everything that we do in this life. And if we have the love of Christ, then we will let Him control our lives. Now, to control something, the word, when you look up the meaning, it's to hold fast, to constrain, to exercise continuous control over someone or something. So this is what Paul was saying from the very beginning, that Christ, through the Holy Spirit that was indwelling, was controlling, and that he was not living for self, but for Christ alone, serving others as Christ did. Now, as cross-reference, you might want to jot down Romans 6, verses 8 through 14. And in these verses, believers died with Christ, and they are now living with Him. And we should consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Once we become believers, we have been born again of the Spirit, then we are dead to sin, but we are alive to God. So, therefore, if we're dead to sin and alive to God, we should present ourselves to Him and our body as an instrument of righteousness. Now, let's complete this study in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians by reading these last verses, 16 through 21. Paul says, therefore. What does therefore mean? It means, therefore, everything that I have said to you before, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, this really tops up everything that Paul has been saying. If you noticed, three times Paul says, therefore, what he is saying, I'm telling you this because of everything that I have told you. He started out first saying, therefore, from now on, from this time forward, we recognize no one according to the flesh. In other words, he's saying, we don't look at you as being in the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, he said, we knew Christ when he was here on this earth, and we knew him in the flesh. But now, he said, we know him in this way no longer. He's saying that he died and God raised him. And he said, we don't recognize him. He had to come in the flesh that he could go to the cross and die for our sins. But he's no longer in the flesh. He is God, as he has always been God. And then he goes on again and he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, if Christ is no longer in the flesh, we're no longer in the flesh. He said that old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. This old flesh that we were living in has already passed away once we become believers. We're still we're the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, but we are no longer in the flesh. We are in spirit because he has filled us and pledged to us. And he said, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself. How? Through Christ Jesus. What is it to be reconciled? It's to be brought back or brought together with him. We know that in the garden, whenever Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from God. They no longer had the relationship. But he is saying now, Christ Jesus has reconciled. He has brought us back to God the Father and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What he's saying that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the power through the Holy Spirit to bring others to Christ, reconcile. We can't do it. Only God can, but he's given us the ministry of how that others can be reconciled. We don't do the reconciling. God does. But we have the ministry of God through our rebirth. He says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, he is saying here that God was in Christ, and through Christ, God reconciling the world back to himself to bring that relationship that had been broken by sins. And he is saying, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them. The only way that God could not count our sins against us was by the blood of Jesus. Jesus died, and his blood reconciled us, brought us back in relationship to God. And he, God, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And listen, verse 20 and 21 tells us how that we have that reconciliation. Let me read these. Therefore, this is Paul again saying, because you know all of this, because I've told you, therefore, because we have that reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Because we have no longer the flesh, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have been reconciled back to God. And because of Christ, we have been given that reconciliation, and we are known as his ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a messenger, one that brings a message from someone else. It's representing that person. We are a representation of Christ himself. And we have the same message, the message of reconciliation. And now God is giving us that appeal of reconciliation to go out to others. And Paul says, we beg you on behalf of Christ. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, the believers at Corinth. He is speaking to all believers today. And he says, we beg you, how? On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Only through Christ, we beg you to believe upon the name of Jesus. The only way that you can be reconciled. In verse 21, it says, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. What a message. What a gift that God has given to us, that we can be reconciled back to him. We all became sinners because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And the only way that we can be brought back in relationship, be reconciled to God, is through his Son, Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But that is a gift. It's a promise. That's why Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. And my prayer today, if there's anyone listening to the Word of God through this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and it was written, we know that it's all been written down for us, and the only thing that is keeping anyone from being reconciled to God is not believing the Word. And the Word is Jesus. And I pray today that salvation will come to anyone that has not received Christ as Lord and Savior over their life. If you have not repented of your sins and let Jesus become your life, that you may glorify His name, may today be the day of salvation. Let us close in prayer. Father, I do pray that Your Word has not only cut the hearts of those that are unbelievers, but I pray that it has touched each of our hearts as believers, that it will cause us to serve You more, to be ambassadors for You, Father. Whether we accept we are ambassadors or not, we are all ambassadors that have been saved. And Father, give us the power and the boldness. And we have that in Your Holy Spirit. May we use it to glorify Your name, Father, and tell others about Jesus. And I ask it now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.